Please pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Lent. It's a time of moving from darkness to light, a darkness where we confess and we do introspection and we journey towards the light of the cross. The cross, a place of death, a place of love, a place of new life. It happened one night many years ago. There was a little girl who was a miracle child in itself in being born, who had imaginary friends. And she insisted every time that the family went on a road trip or just left the house, period, that her imaginary friends join. Now, albeit her imaginary friends were God and the angel. As this girl grew to read and write, well, she discovered post-it notes. Rather than scribbling and drawing on post-it notes, though, she decided to start copying down the Psalms. And she would post them around the house for her family to encounter. Well, one night, this girl, having gone to church earlier, was being tucked in. It was evening prayers with her mother, and she began to cry. Her mother asked her, "Dear, what is the matter?" And the little girl answered between her sobs, "Mommy, how do I open the eyes of my heart like the song says? I really want to. I really do. But I don't know how to. Where is the key to unlock my heart? Mommy, how do I do it?" The mother held and comforted her daughter as this innocent question and dilemma was being presented. Sure, deep down inside, the mother was also chuckling to herself over her daughter's limited understanding of this song. But it didn't change the fact that the child had heard something and could only understand it in the physical sense. She wanted to understand, and she trusted in the intimate setting of the bedtime ritual with her mother to use that to ask and find the answer for her heart-wrenching question. It's a cute story in its own, but I wonder if the same situation is in our gospel reading today. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, probably one of the 70 of the Sanhedrin, after a long day in the temple of teaching and studying, reaches out in the nighttime to Jesus. It was in the covering and the comfort of the night in which he comes to Jesus, the time of day when things slow down, when truth is spoken, and our senses of the eyes are closed, and our hearing becomes more in tune with our heart's desires. Nicodemus has heard about Jesus, and he realizes that this new rabbi must be a man of God. How else can he be doing these signs and miracles which so many people have been speaking about? He comes to him intimately asking and inquiring. And Jesus tells him, "You must be born from above, born again, born anew, born of the Spirit." But how can this be? How can one be born after growing old? Just as the young girl on her bedtime pillow asks her heartfelt question to her mother, I wonder if this is Nicodemus's late-night pillow talk with Jesus too. The comfort and yet vulnerability of the night allows him to ask. But he is also like the young girl in that he is unable to see beyond the physical element of birth being described by Jesus here. Actual physical birth, it's about pain, joy, hope, new life, contractions, ripping, blood, defecation. And then at the end, the amazing tiny little being arrives. What Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about is about being born of the Spirit, though. But I wonder,
if it is actually more similar than we realize to physical birth. No, it's not a one-time deal like physical birth, but it's a series of births, repeatedly over the years, multiple instances of ripping pain and rushes of joy and hope and love. Some of those birthing pains may be the realization of my own role in systemic oppression, the reality of family dynamics, the mirror looking into my own tendencies and behaviors. These birthing pains are uncomfortable experiences and are huge hits to my ego. But through these birth pains, I trust in a divine parent who holds me and gazes on my infancy with unchanging love. My people-pleasing games won't increase or decrease God's love here. Each of these birthing pains against my ego are opportunities for me to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, to let go and let the holy wind of the Spirit move and push me. Once I get past the ego discomfort, I am enveloped in holy comfort. My wanting to know and understand it all right now ego, that ego, it gets frustrated with Jesus when he says, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Life is a mystery of the direction and journeys which God sends us. With each birth, discomfort, and pain, we push through to be held in the holy comfort and in the new beginning which is promised. But Jesus' last words of comfort in trying to break through Nicodemus' confusion are not about judgment, though. Not even about Nicodemus' ignorance to what Jesus shares about the birthing pains of spiritual birth. They are words of a scandalous and intimate love, a love, a divine love, which changes us and changes how we live in the world. In this divine love, there are birthing pains of extreme discomfort. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This verse is the most well-known verse in all the Bible. You've probably seen it up. The end of the world is coming, right? John 3:16. It is also the most abused verse in the Bible. It has been abused to condemn and judge the non-believers. You won't go to heaven unless you believe. God will only love and save the believers, is how this has sometimes been twisted. Yet we forget that the verse is not done there. There is more. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is a verse of promise about God's extravagant and scandalous love for all the world. I must break and give a little bit of a Greek lesson here. The word for world is cosmos, which you probably may already have known. The interesting thing about the Gospel of John is that the usage of this word cosmos for the rest of the Gospel is used in a negative and hostile way, almost referencing a God-hating world. So please give me liberty while I rewrite this last verse of our text today to make my connection. For God so loved the world, the perverse world, that God entered into the perversity of the world so that it might know God. Indeed, God did not come into this God-hating world to condemn it, but in order to share God's scandalous and life-giving love for the world that would reject him. You see, God loves the world, the whole world. God loves the Samaritan woman. God loves the paralyzed or blind or unclean man on the temple steps. He loves the Roman crucifying soldier. He loves the denying Peter and the doubting Thomas. He even loves the Pharisees of ego and ignorance like Nicodemus. God loves the refugees and the immigrants. God loves those of faith and those without faith. God loves the LGBTQ communities. God loves those of different color than our own skin. God loves our Jewish and Muslim brothers and sisters who have suffered hatred. God loves the Trump lovers. God loves the Obama and the Hillary lovers. God loves the world, the whole world. So much that God gave. God gave everything. So we must give. Give love. Love the cosmos. Love the world. It's not about who's in or who's out. It's not about who's saved and who's not saved. It's about love. As Nicodemus goes into the night to find answers, we are also in the night of this hostile world. But in Christ, we find the light of life, a light which no darkness can overcome. It's a light of divine love for all, despite denial or hatred. A baby leaves the comfort of the dark womb and enters into the light. This light of love is blaring and shocking. It bears our nakedness of ignorance and our ego of self-reliance. It calls us again and again out of the darkness of this hostile world and back into the light of pains and discomfort, of being born again into this love, this divine and unconditional love, and it holds us in the embrace of the holy comfort, looking upon us infants with caresses and love, gentleness, and patience. May this Lenten season bring you birthing pains. May it bring you discomfort. But may it also bring you to a place of living in this scandalous and unconditional love, this divine love, a love for all the cosmos. And may you feel compelled to extend this unexpected gift of love, despite the darkness around all of us, for everything that we encounter today and tomorrow. Amen.